Tim, who is an active duty chaplain in the United States Army, has papers entitled Self-Destruction of the Imago Dei, Christianity as a Protective Against Suicide Attempts. Let's welcome
him. Ophir Des Volks is how sociologist Karl Marx once described religion, and many professionals within the field of psychology and psychiatry have followed suit in the subsequent decades. Yet as the effects of the surge of American suicide numbers continue to mount, the long-standing antipathy between the medical community and Christianity is indeed softening. Americans' mental health is at the lowest point in history, said David Rosenman, an associate professor at Harvard Medical School. People are feeling more isolated than ever. They are less connected to each other and also to something spiritual. It is a big problem. Suicide is ravaging image bearers of God from all ethnicities and of all ages. The past two decades saw suicide rates rise dramatically by approximately 36% in the American population. And there is no slowdown in sight. The majority of people who take their lives are healthy working age people. The workers with higher than average suicide rates are military veterans, workers who live in rural areas, occupations like mining and construction. Of note, both societal prestige and wealth are not preventing physicians from committing suicide. Medical doctors have one of the highest rates of suicide of any profession. There are roughly anywhere between 300 to 400 physician suicides per year. And that number could be even higher only because physicians know how to mask it so well. Suicide rate for male physicians is up 40% higher, and for female physicians, get this, up to 130% higher than the general population. Observing by ethnicity, the two groups currently with the highest suicide rates in America are non-Hispanic, Indian, Alaskan Native people and non-Hispanic, Caucasian, white people. In 2021, suicide was the cause of 48,183 deaths in the United States. This translates to one death every 11 minutes. In the same year, roughly 12.3 million American adults contemplated suicide. 3.5 million planned a suicide attempt. And 1.7 million went ahead and actually attempted suicide. Suicide is now the second leading cause of death for Americans ages 20 to 34. And it leaves behind grief, shock, guilt, depression, and often creates novel suicidal thoughts for surviving family members, even after adjusting for psychiatric symptomology. Suicide is also placing a heavy financial burden upon the American economy. In 2020, suicide and non-fatal self-harm cost the United States over $500 billion in medical costs. Work loss costs, quality of life costs, and statistical life costs. Now, in the midst of this national problem, and I would say a global problem, a growing number of professionals now believe that religion is helping in America's suicide crisis. Study after study demonstrate the same conclusion. Christianity in particular has a protective effect against suicidality. Specialized research nuanced it even further by stating that church attendance has a very strong protective effect against suicidality. An example would be a 2016 study done on the correlation between church attendance and suicidality, which concluded, quote, "In this cohort of U.S. women, frequent religious service attendance was associated with significantly lower rate of suicide," end quote. These findings are not new, as sociologists from as early as the late 19th century have been tracking such conclusions. Emil Durkheim, in his classic Le Suicide, 1897, then published in English in 1951, considered variables including marital status, nationality, educational level, and religion to explain variations in suicide rates. Using the logic of multivariate statistical analysis, Durkheim discovered that Protestants, who were generally more highly educated, had a higher rate of suicide than Catholics. Additionally, he discovered that Jews fell outside this pattern. They had a very low rate of suicide, although they were very highly educated. The explanation provided by Durkheim was that the end state of education differed. For you see, the education of Protestants led them to individual consciousness, whereas the education of Jewish people was intended to make them more communal and integrated them into a Jewish community. Throughout Le Suicide, Durkheim determines various typologies of suicide, ranging from high and low integration, high and low regulation, altruistic, egoistic, anomic, and fatalistic suicide. Ultimately, Durkheim settled on the conclusion that communal social cohesion is the main reason why Catholicism appears to have a better protective effect against suicide than Protestantism. Yet the question has remained throughout the subsequent century. Is theological doctrine the true cause of a religious adherence aversion towards suicidality? So here's the question. What prevents suicide? Theology or social cohesion? In principle, perhaps the largest challenge for an empirical identification of the effect of Christianity on suicide is the ongoing tendency to argue that the socially cohesive element of organized religion is the factor that truly prevents suicide. Conversely, my paper argues that theology, doctrinal teachings from Christian scripture, is what really serves as the actual protective against both suicide and suicide attempts. In Le Suicide, Durkheim observed that Protestants have higher suicide rates than Catholics. Indeed, there are aggregate indicators demonstrating merit to the observation. It is true that Protestant countries today still tend to have substantially higher suicide rates, a fact that demonstrates that the relation of religion and suicide is still a vital research topic. Yet, contrary to Durkheim's social cohesion hypothesis, I believe that biblical theology is the force behind suicide protection. To put the choices another way, is Durkheim's social integration hypothesis correct, or is it really theological, moral, regulative hypothesis? Is it the sense of religious community that prevents suicide, or is it the religion's doctrine that prevents suicide? The evidence, I believe, points to the latter. Blaise Pascal, quote that is well known, "All men seek happiness, this is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and of others avoiding it is the same desire in both, attended with different views. The will never takes the least step but to this object. This is the motive of every action of every man, even of those who hang themselves," end quote. Pascal rightly noted that suicide is a choice. More specifically, Pascal states that happiness is the ultimate utility. Now, here's what I mean. The decision to commit suicide is really a choice where the utility of staying alive or ending life are weighed against each other. If the utility of staying alive falls below the utility of ending life, suicide is erroneously seen as the choice of greater utility. Life or suicide comes down to a choice weighed on the balance scales of the human mind. Within such a paradigm, from a research perspective, two classes of mechanisms predict higher suicide rates for Protestants than for Catholics. One, the social mechanism, and two, the theological mechanism. In the social, as Durkheim argued, Protestants and Catholics differ in their organizational setup. Protestantism seems to be more individualistic as a religion, as it focuses on the salvation of the individual soul rather than a global mother church. If a disaffected Protestant is fed up with an evangelical church on First Avenue, he is able to easily move his entire family to an evangelical church on Second Avenue. Membership and communal issues are nearly non-existent, for there is seldom cooperation between autonomous local Protestant churches and no overarching hierarchy. This has caused some researchers to infer that it is the communal aspect of Catholicism that serves as the protective factor against suicide. Using this hypothesis, many psychologists have now also argued that suicide is preventable by simply incorporating suicidal individuals into non-religious social communities. So if you think about weaving communities, art communities, sports, motorcycle riding communities, the unbelieving world has picked up on Durkheim's hypothesis. Additionally, psychotherapists have extrapolated that by causing suicidal patients to think of their family members during interventions, this will result them in choosing life instead of death. Both approaches, however, have seen little success in abating the rise in national suicide numbers. Now, the second mechanism is theological. Protestant doctrine teaches the importance of salvation by faith alone, through God's grace alone, and not on the merit of any person's works. Conversely, Catholic doctrine teaches salvation to be affected by one's deeds and sins. As a result, committing suicide, a mortal sin for Catholics, entails the disutility of going to hell. This theological moral regulation from Catholicism powerfully stirs its adherence toward other responses during times of utmost desperation. In other words, no matter how bad it's becoming here, it still doesn't compare to hell. In 2016, this observation regarding the impact of theology on suicide rates was picked up by the Los Angeles Times. Quote, Protestant women who worship weekly at church were far less likely to take their own lives than were women who seldomly never attended services. But these same Protestant women were still 7 times more likely to die by their own hand than were their devout Catholic sisters. Especially among devout Catholic women, those in the pews more than once a week, suicides were a vanishing phenomenon. Among the 6,999 Catholic women who said they attended Mass more than once a week, there was not a single suicide. The Catholic Church teaches that suicide is a mortal sin. It has long warned that those who kill themselves would go to hell and denied those who killed themselves a Catholic burial. End quote, Los Angeles Times, 2016. Not a single Catholic in that study committed suicide because they were taught that it is a mortal sin. Emil Durkheim, recently Thomas Joyner out of Harvard, whose father, by the way, also died of suicide, are correct in viewing suicides as preventable, but misstep, I believe, when attributing far too much to communal social cohesion. While a sense of community does contribute to the flourishing of human mental health, when it comes to absolute suicide prevention, It is really the moral, pediological objections of a religion that provides the ultimate cause for its adherents choosing life rather than death. Research supports this hypothesis. Listen to this. Religious affiliation is associated with less suicidal behavior in depressed inpatients. After other factors were controlled, it was found that greater moral objections, you heard that? Greater moral objections to suicide and lower aggression level in religiously affiliated subjects may function as protective factors against suicide attempts. Further study about the influence of religious affiliation on aggressive behavior and how moral objections can reduce the probability of acting on suicidal thoughts may offer new therapeutic strategies in suicide prevention. End quote. That's what the research is beginning to show. And this sort of strategy in suicide prevention is certainly something the military and society at large would benefit tremendously from. The strategy is further reinforced by cross-sectional observation of American society and other global religions. Let's take a moment to consider Muslims and Hindus. Do they differ? And indeed they do. Islam teaches that suicide is a grave sin, haram. Hinduism is vague on its teaching regarding suicide, largely because Hinduism believes in reincarnation, the belief that the soul, after biological death, begins a new life in a different body that may be human, animal, or spiritual, depending on the moral quality of a person's previous life. Hence, in the Hindu religion, bodily death is simply a gateway to a restart in a different body. This belief in the cycle of births and deaths, reincarnation, ultimately makes suicide meaningless. Conversely, in Islam, the Quran explicitly warns, "And kill not yourselves, surely Allah is merciful to you." Chapter 4, verse 30 of the Quran. In fact, one Muslim imam blatantly declared, "A person that chooses to end his life foregoes his chance to receive the mercy of Allah because he has died in the act of crime." As a result of each respective religion's teachings, Muslims have a profoundly lower suicide rate than Hindus. Hinduism has over 1.1 billion adherents, comprising about 15% of the global population, most dense in the region of India. People who follow Hinduism have a higher suicide rate of about 21 per 100,000, compared to the global average of 11.4. That's a massive difference. Despite being communal people, Hindu Indians are very communal people. Hindu countries have higher suicide rates compared to Islamic and Christian countries. The fact that religious teaching is the cause for the differences is further manifested by statistics amongst immigrants living abroad in places like Fiji, the Caribbean, Malaysia, and the United Kingdom, all indicating that suicide is disproportionately high among those of Indian descent. Again, it is the theological moral regulations of a religion that provides the ultimate cause for adherence averting suicide. Now today, many Protestant churches preemptively teach that church members who commit suicide are certainly headed to hell. This is all over our media. You think of everyone from Toby Mac to who lost his son, and Darren Patrick, the megachurch pastor who passed away. It's happening at a higher clip, to the point where they are preemptively teaching that suicide results in heaven. Religious teachings have demonstrated their power to send Shinto Japanese kamikaze pilots to their deaths for the sake of their god, the Japanese emperor. During World War II, think about this, for every kamikaze pilot who committed suicide, 10 American lives were killed. Doctrines have also sent ISIS suicide bombers to their deaths in jihad for their God, Allah. Why? Because their doctrine teaches them automatic paradise. Despite what Emil Durkheim and other sociologists have had tried to say about the role of social communities, which are strong in these Middle Eastern countries, it's not social cohesion that's ultimately preventing suicides. The research has shown that nothing comes markedly close to biblical doctrinal prohibitions in effectively keeping persons from even attempting suicide. The protective factor for Protestants lies in regaining their own theology. Protestants teach salvation by the grace of God alone, via faith in Jesus Christ alone. Justification, as we all know, is a punctiliar event. And once a person is saved, he is eternally sealed unto salvation. Now, Christendom, from the 6th to the late 20th century, typically did not even bury anyone who committed suicide, because suicide, death by murder of self, was the ultimate manifestation of an unbelieving soul. Unlike Catholics, Protestants do not categorize mortal versus venial sins, and do not need to. Scripture does not call for that. Instead, the crux of the question is the salvific state of the soul who commits suicide. The real question must be asked, and it's an uncomfortable question. Could a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ exit this life via suicide? And I think too many of us have presumptuously jumped on an answer. Does suicide play display the lordship of the Lord Jesus in a person's life? Now, Protestants, most of us, hold to the doctrine of perseverance. Perseverance of the saints is the fundamental manifestation of saving faith, as believers persevere through life's difficulties because they fear God more than their present difficult circumstances. And in a Calvinistic perspective, it is God's sovereign will that such a person continues in that faith. This is worth thoughtful consideration, for if the research is correct, then the key to stemming the tide in suicide is not via more social cohesion. Strong communities unquestionably do help mental health. But the true key to ultimate suicide prevention is found in biblical doctrine. Now, earlier, we read that Pascal believed that happiness was the ultimate reality. Let me explain how there are two wrong ways a suicidal person could wager upon Pascal's proposal. One, pompous atheism. Two, presumptuous salvation. Let me just explain first pompous atheism. If the person is absolutely convinced of God's non-existence and death is biological life simply decomposing without the existence of an eternal soul, then the suicidal individual believes that happiness is attained by simply ending the misery of the present life. Non-existence, they surmise, is happier and less painful than present existence. There is no fear of death because there is no fear of God. Thus, this route often ends with suicide. Now, the second is presumptuous salvation. This occurs when a person is taught that saved people can commit suicide and subsequently enter eternal life. Under this belief structure, a suicidal individual believes that happiness is attained by simply ending the misery of this present life. Heaven, they surmise, is happier and less painful than this present existence. Thus, this route also often ends with suicide. Empirical data, biblical precepts, and now clinical research point to a less explored pathway for suicide prevention. I want you to listen to this. There's a theory about suicide that suggests three components that lead to a person killing themselves, said Dr. Emmanuel Maidenberg, clinical professor of psychiatry at UCLA School of Medicine. He's the director of UCLA Cognitive Behavioral Therapy Clinic. First, they perceive themselves as burdensome to others. Second, they also feel no sense of belongingness. And third, listen, the third component is that they have learned not to be afraid of harming themselves. Maidenberg is correct. Those who kill themselves do so because they are no longer afraid of harming themselves. This is a significant finding that is often missed in much of the literature on suicidology. If true, the preventative effect of religion lies not in its communal bonds, but rather in the healthy restoration of the fear of death, in the restoration of the fear of God. Where there exists no fear of God, there exists no fear of suicide. I'm going to say that one more time. Where there exists no fear of God, there exists no fear of suicide. And that's what the research is beginning to show. Communities come and go, but religious convictions abide long term. In speaking with suicidal individuals, it is vital to speak to them of God's existence. The fear of God, as we all know, is the beginning of wisdom, and suicide becomes an option if the fear of God is absent. The appeal of suicide and the fear of God are inversely related. The rise in one will diminish the other. And we get scripture, Jesus saying, "And fear not them which kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." There's the ultimate disutility. Mankind innately knows of God's existence. They often just need a reminder. I find this day in, day out to be true as a practitioner. Even the most ardent individual who claims to be an atheist deep down inside knows of God's existence. And once the existence of God is acknowledged, then the eternal ramifications of suicide are usually far beyond the gambling scope of most rational humans. Throughout history, Christians have been dismayed, as it says in 2 Corinthians 1:8, and have despaired even of life, Paul once said. Yet through difficulties, Christian faith has been manifested through perseverance. It is an "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, though I dread of life itself right now." Although it is impossible to prosecute a person who has already committed suicide, most American states make it a felony to even aid in a suicide. We innately know it is wrong. And in similar manner, I would say, divine prescriptions against suicide or theological objections can, quote, reduce the probability of acting on suicidal thoughts and may offer new therapeutic strategies in suicide prevention, end quote. Thank you.